I'm on my phone and not on my computer because I don't want to risk it. I am going to see if Mercury's in retrograde.
Come on, computer. Don't do this to me.
Mercury is in retrograde even if it says it's not. I think the retrograde website is down.
It's in retrograde for us for sure.
Ugh.
Where are my pouts?
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your press on nail wearing, cat tree building, I just want to go on vacation to a resort and solve a murder friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your golden girls watching, relaxing night yoga practicing, champagne at every meal friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about the history of toilet paper.
Oh, that's our weird topic?
That is our weird topic this week, and I know, Bethany, you are definitely going to be a little bit uncomfortable because you don't like the poo.
I don't like talking about things that involve the restroom. You are correct, but I'm in it.
The historical factors behind it will have you enthralled.
Enthralled.
What are you talking about this week?
Well, I'm talking about insomnia because so many of us are obviously staying home, and I think that we have been in quarantine for long enough that it's really affecting our sleep cycles. I know this is something that my boyfriend is dealing with. He has severe insomnia. I know it's something that people in my family are working on. So I have a lot of different tips, both science-based, behavioral-based, just awesome idea-based, to try and help you get through some of this insomnia.
I am so excited that you're talking about insomnia this week because my mom and I literally text each other every single day when we wake up in the morning. Hey, how'd you sleep last night?
Yeah.
Because we're not getting restful night's sleep. And I tried something last night that helped me so much. So I'm excited for your topic.
Can I talk to you about the movie that I saw that I cannot stop thinking about?
100%
So there has been a really big blind spot in my Nicolas Cage watching. And that is the motion picture Face Off. And
okay,
have you seen Face Off, Kathleen?
I can't say that I have, but oftentimes I'll watch a movie and totally forget that I've seen it until I watch it again halfway through. So
this is the John Travolta, Nicolas Cage vehicle where Nicolas Cage plays a terrorist for hire, basically. And in the first scene of the movie, he, as a sniper, accidentally kills John Travolta's baby son, who's like, I don't know, 6, 8. I don't know what kids are. You know, a kid.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
What Ivy League school do you need to go to become a sniper? Brown? Is it Brown?
Brown. Yeah, Brown. You have to take the snipe class. Snipe 101 through snipe 501, and then you and then you move up. So like, he means to shoot Travolta, but he shoots the kid. So
Da baby.
Yeah. So then John Travolta, via a secret government scientific procedure, takes his face off and then puts Nicolas Cage's face on. And then I won't tell you how it happens, but then Nicolas Cage, as the bad guy, puts on John Travolta's face. And you know what? It is insane. The acting is about as far from naturalistic as you can get, but it is an incredible motion picture. If you love explosions, a boat, Kathleen,
yes,
drives through another boat. And there is a stunt person on board as it's happening. And the bigger boat that the smaller boat goes through bursts into flames. As a large boat would if a smaller boat just went through it.
This sounds more exciting than Sharknado, the first one.
This is more exciting than every Sharknado put together, Kathleen, because this is a goddamn piece of art.
Okay.
Face Off is wonderful. And I know it came out in like 1997, and I know that it's an old motion picture. But this film, if you haven't seen it in a while or you've never seen it, you need to watch Face Off. And you need to understand that as I was watching this film, nothing but glee was like across my face. And could you get the glee off my face? No, you could not.
No, you couldn't.
That was one part of my face you could not take off.
Next time we role play, next time I come over and we do like our infamous
sexy role play. Yeah.
Sexy role playing. We are going to role play Face Off.
Yeah. So you'll be Kathleen playing Nicolas Cage playing John Travolta.
No, I think I want to be Kathleen playing John Travolta playing Nicolas Cage, because I'm not going to take away the glory that is your one true love, Nicolas Cage, away from you, Bethany.
So I'm going to play Bethany playing Nicolas Cage playing John Travolta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Which is completely different than my regular everyday nighttime role playing Face Off, where I just remove my makeup and my husband goes, ah, who am I married to?
I'm taking my face off and it washes down the drain.
Oh, do you know what I bought today? I bought something very exciting. I bought first 12 books in the classic The Babysitter's Club series.
Whoa!
Because the new Netflix reboot that's coming out July 3rd, the trailer came out this week and I'm like so beyond excited. So since I'm social distancing with my nieces, I'm going to start reading them and then dropping each one off at their house after I finish it so we can FaceTime and chat about it, you know, just the girls.
Did you get them on eBay or did you like buy new copies? Do they have new copies out still?
They do, yeah. They've got new copies and it's like a whole set. It wasn't cheap. It was 12 books for like $50. I mean, whoa. That's like pretty expensive. There's 120 Babysitter's Club books, I believe. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to find the other, you know, 100 and whatever, but it's my mission to do it before the series comes out in July.
How is the artwork on these new? Or is it the same, like the building blocks?
It's the total same, like classic building blocks. God. Yeah, I know.
Thank God. Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
There were like graphic novels that came out, I think.
Fuck those graphic novels. They're not even good graphics. It's like bubble figures. Get the fuck out of here.
It is like bubble figures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited for you. Yeah. Christy's big idea. I know that's number one. And then do you follow the guy on Instagram? I think his handle is Angry Asian Man, but he redoes the Claudia books.
Claudia Kishi yeah. was my favorite. She was the artist.
An old episode we talk about Claudia's fashion choices. But Angry Asian Man, I don't know if he does them himself or if he just reposts them, but he on Instagram had for a while old Babysitter's Club covers that featured Claudia, but it was like a different title and a different summary.
I love those remakes, sort of like the L.L. Bean catalogs that people put on Tumblr and give them new captions, like Ben arrived on a snowy evening with an apple pie and said, Sharon, lay your naked body down in front of the fire because I'm going to make love to you and then we're going to make homemade whipped cream and eat this pie.
Oh, I would do that in a second.
Hell yeah.
If you scroll back on Angry Asian Man's Instagram to like 2017, here is the Babysitter's Club. I don't know what the original title was, but it's a picture of Claudia with like a bunch of kids all over her house and there's stuff everywhere. And the title is Claudia Thought She Told Everyone to Take Off Their Fucking Shoes. And there's also Claudia Kishi, only Asian at this damn school, Babysitter's Club number 101. They're very, very fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I highly recommend.
Ann M. Martin. Who is she? Does she exist? I don't know.
I think she used to. I think now she just has a team of writers or had. I mean, she came out with like a book every couple months.
No, it was every week, Bethany. It was every week for 76 like consecutive years.
Stop. Well, I'm excited for you. Revisiting your youth is a really big deal in the Babysitter's Club. The good thing about him is that every book treats you like you've never read one of their books before. Mm-hmm. So they always recap how the whole thing started and who everyone is and how Donna's diabetes and how Christy is like type A. And
I was recently watching the 1995 movie, The Babysitter's Club, starring
Channing Tatum?
No, I know. Oh, she's Sissy Spacek's daughter, and she hasn't really been in that many movies. She's more of a musician now. God damn it, what's her
Cordelia
name?
Cordelia Spacek?
Hang on, give me a second.
Lana Del Spacek.
Skylar Fisk.
Oh, okay. I want to start a band called Lana Del Spacek. I'm doing it. You're my tambourine player.
I'm all for that. As long as I can wear braids in my hair, I'm cool.
Obviously. Who do you think I am?
Abby. And in it, she goes to an amusement park by herself. And it's like the worst, absolute worst experience of her life. She's like looking for her dad. And then it starts raining. And she comes home like she's been through war. And I'm like, girlfriend, you're 13 years old. It's probably okay for you to go to an amusement park by yourself and like only be slightly scarred. Like, you should probably be okay.
I don't know. I feel like everything is so much more dramatic for these girls.
So much more dramatic. She's like at home and her friends wrap her in a towel and she's sitting by the fire and she's like, I didn't know where he was. I'm like, girlfriend, you're 13. Like, get out of here.
Someone needed to slap her across the face and tell her to calm the F down.
Yeah, calm the F down. Like, if you have the wherewithal to call a cab and go there on your own in the first place, call a cab and get your ass home.
Don't they live in Connecticut?
I don't know where they live. They live in Everyday America, USA, I believe.
They certainly don't do that. I think 12 is still too young, by the way.
Way too young. I wouldn't even trust myself with a baby, and I'm 34,
no.
So.
No, correct.
No, I don't have any of my certifications. Like, could you save someone's life with Heimlich maneuver? Are you certified?
No. I mean, I think I got certified to be a babysitter through, like, my mom's work when I was 13 or 14 or 17 or something. But, like, they just made us watch a really scary movie about how fast fire spread among curtains in your home and gave us a certificate that we signed.
Yeah.
But I think I could fumble around enough and hopefully get the thing out of you, but I don't know if, like, I know exactly how to Heimlich someone.
No, me neither. No curtains, no candles. If you want to stay alive, no curtains, no candle.
As we learned from Britney Spears last week, one thing leads to another. One candle leads to another, and suddenly you burn your whole gym down.
Yep, your home gym.
Mm-hmm.
Bethany.
Yes.
I know we've talked about it before, but I cannot get enough of this phone game that we're both obsessed with, Best Fiends.
It's the best.
I'm not one to typically like phone games. I really don't play them. I don't play video games. This is the one game that instantly hooked me. It's like my brain gets to take a break from the real world, and I get to play with all these adorable characters. The visuals are stunning. It's the one thing that I open up more than Instagram on my phone.
It's great if you're looking for a way to get your brain to stop thinking about all the things you're stressed about. Best Fiends is my secret, and I think that, Kathleen, it's the same for you.
Yes.
If you haven't played Best Fiends before, it's a unique and exciting puzzle experience. It's unlike other puzzle games out there. You don't have to have the internet to play it. You don't need to worry about Wi-Fi access or using cell data. You can play it offline, and it's like a color matching game, but you're collecting characters, you're evolving them to the next level. It's a puzzle game. You're using your brain.
I love this game so much. I'm already in the 600s level. That never happens for me. What level are you at, Bethany?
Yeah, I'm in like the 600s as well.
No, you're not. You're probably in the 700s.
Look, your brain needs a break, okay? So stop worrying. Engage your brain in a fun way with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. With over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play.
Download Best Fiends for free in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Kathleen, as we record this, it is the middle of May 11th. Mm-hmm. And so most of us have been in quarantine for a little over 2 months.
God, I can't believe it's been that long.
I've been hearing from a lot of people that their sleep is getting really messed up because we're not outside running errands. We're not commuting to and from work. So we're not really wearing our bodies out the way we normally were.
Uh-huh.
We're working from home. So we're in front of screens all the time, and often we're in spaces that our bodies would normally associate with sleep or relaxation, but we're working instead.
Yeah, and daytime is blending into nighttime, and nighttime becomes midday, and midday becomes twilight, and who knows which way is up.
Completely. And if you live in a home that has less light, if it's darker or you don't get a lot of direct sunlight, your circadian rhythms are completely thrown off because you're not seeing daylight nighttime the way that maybe you normally would if you were in an office or driving around.
You know, I was just thinking about the housing market and how homes that don't have a lot of natural light, nobody's going to want to buy them unless they're doing major renovations, because after experiencing quarantine like this, everyone knows how important light is for stabilizing your mood.
Well, one of the things that Dennis and I have a hard time with is that my apartment has tons of light. I keep my blinds open, natural light coming through. I need it for my mood. And he doesn't like to have his blinds open. And so he keeps his apartment kind of like a cave. And even if I open a blind or two when I'm over, the overall cave feeling starts to give me a headache after a while. Yeah. And it kind of bums me out, makes me feel like I'm disconnected from the world. So it's tough for me to spend a lot of time at his place because of that. I need a lot of light.
Bethany, let's be honest too. You have a deal with your neighbors because they like to be a little peepee Tommy and they send you monthly checks because you leave your blinds brands open.
Look, you have to make money in this market any way you possibly can.
Yes, you're an entrepreneur.
Yes, exactly. I am an entrepreneur.
Wait, so why doesn't Dennis like to leave his blinds open?
Because a lot of reasons. He doesn't like the idea of someone being able to see him, you know, even like during the day while he's working. And like he tends to focus better if he can't see outside. And he kind of likes the cozy feeling of a darker like cabin vibe. And I need sun.
Does he work at his desk with his naked body?
Yeah, sometimes he does work at his desk with his naked body. Okay, so if you are looking to cure insomnia or help yourself sleep, there are a lot of things that we have all heard before that you're going to be like, I've tried that, or there's no way that will work. But like for the purposes of this, I'm going to go through those quickly because then I'm going to get to some really cool ideas that may actually really help you.
Warm milk.
So warm milk sounds awful. Does that actually work?
I have no idea. I remember doing it as a kid because I saw it on TV, but it just grosses me out now.
Yeah, please no. Unless there's chocolate in that warm milk and then it is a cocoa. And if it is a cocoa-based drink, then I will drink that cocoa. Girl. So from the website healthline.com, here is an article. It's tips to sleep better. We're going to run down the tips you've already heard, okay, really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you know you need to follow a consistent sleep routine, even on the weekends. You need to go to bed and wake up at the same time. You need to do something, the same something, every night before bed, like read a book or take a bath, to tell your brain, hey, it's time to go to bed. You know this.
It's just so much harder than it sounds.
You know, keep electronics out of your bed. You know, you got to keep the phone away from your bed. Keep your TV out of your bed. Keep your iPad out of your bed. The blue light is going to be bad for you. Don't do it.
Okay.
You know that you need to make your sleeping space your ideal sleeping space. So, Kathleen, if you could have the perfect sleeping space for you, what would it look like?
It would be a very dark room. It would be cold, very cold. And the bed would have so many blankets because I like to feel a lot of weight on top of me when I'm sleeping, which is why I love sleeping with a weighted blanket.
Yeah. Totally. Okay. So how does that compare to your actual bedroom?
My bedroom's not that dark. I do have curtains, but they're not blackout curtains. I do waste electricity keeping my AC on most of the year, even if it's pretty cold outside, because I like the noise. And my husband and I have separate blankets, so I can keep like a weighted blanket on me, but it's not noise free. You know, he gets up earlier than I do. And so there's a lot of happenings, and I would like my own wing, but until I win the lottery, like, it's just not gonna happen.
That is what Dennis and I said. We're not moving in together until someone can get their own wing. Okay, so that's another thing. This article says, imagine your dream sleeping space, compare it to your current bedroom, and if they look nothing alike, you may need to change some of the things, like changing the strength or the color of the lights you use. Maybe you use a really bright full spectrum light and you want to go a little bit more yellow or orange.
Yeah.
Maybe the weight of your comforter needs to be heavier or lighter. The firmness of your mattress, the color of your bedding, all of that can really help create a really cozy environment that's perfect for you. A couple other things you already know. Don't drink caffeine late in the afternoon or evening. Don't drink alcohol. Alcohol helps you fall asleep, but it disrupts your quality of your sleep. You know this.
I fall asleep so quickly when I have three big glasses of wine.
I know. When I have seven fingers of port, I am out like a light. Then lastly, if you're still lying awake after 15 minutes of trying to fall asleep, get out of bed. You also know this. Don't like lay there and fester. Don't watch TV, don't text, don't check your computer. Do something like read with a low dim light. You know.
Get out of bed and don't look at my computer or my phone. But you're speaking gibberish to me, Bethany.
I know, but it's helpful according to this website. Okay.
All right.
So you've tried all of those. You're still having insomnia.
Okay.
There is another article on healthline.com. This is an article by Crystal Ewan, and I'm going to be linking all of these in our show notes. These are some science-based tricks to help you fall asleep faster. So let's give some of these a bit of a shot. So the first one is called the military method.
Oh, okay? So that's a sexual position.
Well, it is in my house.
Where you salute the deep. I'm embarrassed of myself right now. I'm so embarrassed of my mom is embarrassed of me like 25 minutes away from me right now.
Your mom is fine. She's heard it before. So the military method was first reported by Sharon Ackerman, and it comes from a book called Relax and Win: Championship Performance. So according to Ackerman, the U.S. Navy pre-flight school created this routine to try and help pilots fall asleep in 2 minutes or less. And the pilots worked on this for about 6 weeks, but it worked. They tested it even on pilots who had had coffee and had gunfire noises in the background. They were still able to fall asleep in 2 minutes or less.
Tell me how.
But you have to practice it. Okay.
Okay.
So this can even work, by the way, if you need to sleep while sitting up, they say. Step one, relax your entire face, including the muscles inside your mouth.
Okay. I'm doing that.
Drop your shoulders to release the tension and really drop them, because sometimes you think you drop them, but then they're still kind of tense. Drop them. Let your hands drop to the side of your body.
So now you look like Weekend Bernie's.
I'm a dead person.
Yeah. Okay. Now inhale. And exhale and relax your chest. Okay. Kathleen looks like a stuffed animal without the stuffing, like a Build-A-Bear before you put the stuffing in, and it looks like a bear rug. Okay, next. Relax your legs, your thighs, and your calves. This is the hard step. Step five, clear your mind for 10 seconds by imagining a relaxing scene. Now, if you're me, you picture that relaxing scene and then immediately I show up in that relaxing scene going, you're already too stressed out. You're never going to relax, dummy. So then you have to try and say the words, don't think, over and over for 10 seconds.
Okay.
So you're relaxed, relaxed, relaxed. Even your mouth is relaxed. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. Do that for 10 seconds. And they say within 10 seconds, after a lot of practice, you should fall asleep.
Oh my God, I was just asleep. I was just asleep. Okay, can I divulge something to you?
Oh, I would love it.
So you know the part where you said pick a relaxing scene?
Yeah.
And then think in your head, don't think, don't think, don't think.
Yeah.
Remember that episode at the beginning of the year where we were listening to that audio porn?
Uh-huh.
That British man who was guiding us through self-masturbation on the beach.
Guiding us. He was guiding you and I was the third wheel and really uncomfortable.
Anthony, he was guiding both of us and his accent was so charming. That is where my mind went.
That's great.
And then he started saying, don't think, don't think, don't think. And then and then I tried to fall asleep, but there was like an O coming in the horizon.
Okay, so that might be like the wrong kind of relaxing scene.
Okay. All right.
I feel like that is less relaxing and more like stimulating, you know?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So maybe like imagine that beach before the British dude shows up and ravages betwixt your thighs, you know?
Okay. Actually, that technique was pretty good. Like I felt like I could fall asleep sitting up.
Okay. Great. Now, if it doesn't work for you, you may have some breathing and muscle relaxation issues. Like you need to practice that. It may also be like, oh, you have ADHD or you have high anxiety and it's not going to work necessarily. So
it was kind of like the military version of Shavasana.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corpse pose, right? Is that corpse pose? Okay. Yeah, exactly. You just kind of lie there and relax everything.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't work for you and you practice it and whatever, try this. This is the 4-7-8 breathing method. Have you heard of this?
I have, yes.
The 4-7-8.
Yes.
So it's great if you practice it. If you have respiratory issues like COPD or asthma, talk with your doctor. So to begin, you put the tip of your tongue against the roof of your mouth. Like if you're going to gleek.
Okay, got it.
Do it behind your two front teeth. Keep your tongue there the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And purse your lips if you need to. Now, I'm just going to, yeah, that's right. Kathleen's making sort of like a duck lips face, but with her tongue gleeking in the back, and it looks good. You can Google the 4-7-8 technique. I'm not going to like force you to do it, but it just involves inhaling, counting to four, holding your breath for 7 seconds, exhaling for 8 seconds.
Oh, okay.
It's a cycle of breathing.
It made me yawn. It made me yawn doing that.
Oh, I mean, it's relaxing.
That means it's working.
So there's another method.
Bethany, I want you to do the 4-7-6-5-2-1 method with us.
Do people have the time for it?
Yes, of course, Bethany. It's quarantine. We have time for everything.
Okay. All right. So put your tongue on the roof of your mouth behind your teeth.
Okay, got it.
Let your lips part slightly and make a whooshing sound as you exhale through your mouth. Okay.
Okay.
Close your lips. Inhale silently through your nose and count to four in your head. So I'll count with you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four. Now, hold your breath for 7 seconds. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now, exhale with a whoosh sound for 8 seconds. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay. And start and then start over. They say avoid being too alert at the end of each cycle. Complete it for four full breaths and you will probably fall asleep.
Better. It's taking me on again.
This is good.
It's working.
This is so good.
Oh, I need to wake up.
Okay.
Slap my cheeks.
The next one is one you've probably heard of, progressive muscle relaxation. It's when you tense up and then relax the muscles of your face and then your shoulders and then your arms and blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so that's another one. Mm-hmm. This is one I really, really like.
Okay.
If those relaxation methods don't work for you, there may be an underlying blockage that you have to get out. So then try this.
Like a poo.
Like a poo. Mm-hmm. So go poo, come back.
That's always my type of underlying blockage that's throwing me off. Always.
Go poo, come back. Still can't sleep? Tell yourself to stay awake. This is called paradoxical intention. If you're lying in bed and you tell yourself you have to stay awake, it may help you fall asleep faster.
Like reverse psychology on yourself.
Exactly. Research found that people who practiced paradoxical intention fell asleep faster than those who didn't. So if you find yourself stressed out because you can't sleep, try this instead of like traditional breathing practices.
Okay. All right. Okay. Stay awake. Bitch, stay awake. You're not worthy of sleep, asshole.
No, you can't beat yourself up. That's not, no, don't beat yourself up.
Okay, a little bit kinder.
Just be like, don't fall asleep. You have just stay awake. Stay awake all night. I know there's 8 more hours left of the night, but you have to stay awake for all of them. And you have to be alert.
Gotcha.
Stay awake.
Gotcha.
Don't you dare fall asleep.
Nope. The safety of the world is on your shoulders. Stay the fuck awake.
All right. This article also lists some acupressure locations that might work.
I know one acupressure location.
Yeah.
It's called the G spot.
G spot. I know one acupressure location.
Betwixt my legs
in the vulva. I'll link you to the article. You can find them. They have pictures. One of the acupressure spots is if you look at your hand, palm facing you, below your pinky, so like where your hand meets your wrist, on the pinky side, there's like a little divot if you feel like a small hollow space.
Yes. Yeah.
Apply pressure in a circular or up and down motion for like 2 to 3 minutes there. Play around with it a little bit. Ooh, that's supposed to be helpful.
This is exciting, Bethany. Tell me another spot.
Another spot? Mm-hmm. It's called the inner frontier gate. So again, palm facing you, on your wrist, about 3 fingers down from where your hand joins your wrist.
Okay.
There are 2 tendons. If you feel those 2 tendons.
Okay. Yeah.
So stick 3 fingers under the bottom of your hand. Between those 2 tendons, 3 fingers down, just sort of wiggle that area.
Ooh.
Or with your thumb, just a constant downward pressure. You can massage it.
All right.
That feels kind of nice.
Yeah, I get it.
Also, where your head meets your spine, there are little divots, one on either side of your neck.
Okay.
It's like 2 kind of hollow areas. Mm-hmm. Place your fingers like you're going to pray. Interlock your fingers like you're going to pray. And then dome your fingers so your wrists move apart. And so you're kind of making like a dome shape. Stick your thumbs down and then place your cupped hands behind your head and like put your thumbs in those 2 divots and just sort of like put pressure there.
Ooh, that feels
good.
And move
them around.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it. You could sleep like this if you were laying on a pillow.
Yeah, fully. You totally could.
Yeah.
It feels good. Yeah, it feels good.
A little self-massage.
They also say, again, make sure your bedroom is okay. Hide your clock. Take a warm shower before bed. If you need to sleep cool, open a window or have your AC running. Make sure that you have your phone far away from your bed. Eat earlier to avoid stomach digestion or too much stimulation before bed.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have like blackout curtains, a white noise machine, earplugs, all of that stuff that you need.
Mm.
Now, if that's not working, because it all feels a little bit too woo-woo-y.
Yeah.
And maybe you want something concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Twitter and I asked the people who follow me on Twitter, who are normally bombarded with cat photos, hey, are you experiencing insomnia since quarantine and what helps you?
Oh, I love Twitter for medical advice. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Twitter, uh-huh. It's the best.
Dr. Twitter taught me that if you floss, it'll get rid of a headache.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Does it work?
Yes, it does.
Nice. And one thing I asked too is, like, I know sleep aids can help, but like, what are things other than sleep aids that have helped? Because I didn't want just like a timeline full of, you know, melatonin.
Yeah.
So here's some options for you. Steph Williams said a white noise machine plus an audiobook. Great. Mm. It's a lot of that distracting noise. It's white noise plus someone talking to you in a soothing tone. Great. Yes.
Okay.
My friend Angie, she's Angie Taylor Kiss on Twitter. She said she meditates with apps every night. She recommends either the Calm app or Breathe, which is B-R-E-E-T-H-E, Breathe.
I keep seeing commercials for the Calm app and I'm very interested in it. I think I'm going to give it a try tonight.
Yeah, I've heard it's great. There's also another app that so many people recommended, and that's the Rain Rain app.
Rain Rain? Rain Rain?
Rain Rain. It's apparently just incredibly soothing, and I had several people who are like, oh yeah, that's the thing that does it for me.
Yeah.
So look up the Rain Rain app on iTunes or wherever you get your apps.
What is it? Is it like just sounds of rain?
I think it's like nature sounds.
Wait, we should play it right now.
Let's find it.
Hey Siri. Download the Rain Rain app.
Okay. Searching for Rain Rain on the App Store.
Okay. Now I have the Rain Rain app finally downloaded on my phone. Here, this is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely.
That's a rainstorm for you.
I love that.
I don't know. This rainstorm is making me horny. I just...
Kathleen, you can't just be horny when you're trying to be tired. Why does all of this make you horny?
It makes me want to make love to a lumberjack on a wolfskin rug in front of a fire.
Is this why you don't sleep? Is because every time you try to meditate, you just get horny?
Don't judge me, Bethany.
I'm not judging you. I'm just judging you. EVQ said that one thing she suggests is wake up at your usual time. Don't sleep in longer than an hour. Stay active throughout the day. 30 minutes of cardio. If you're going to take a nap, do them for only 15 minutes and do them on the couch, not your bed.
Yeah.
And then eat dinner and go to bed at your normal time, like you're going to work the next day, even if you're not.
Every now and then, it's like once in a bluest moon, I will take a nap and hit that sweet spot where I wake up not feeling groggy.
Yeah.
I've read all of the timings and all of the set your alarm for this and don't do this and do that. And you should wake up feeling refreshed. It never happens on a regular basis. I just can't do it.
Stroke of luck. I've also heard that you're supposed to drink coffee before you take your nap because by the time the coffee kicks in, you'll just be waking up from the nap, which I think is very clever.
That's interesting. Yeah. I usually wake up feeling like a monster from the Black Lagoon. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like hungover, and I tell my friends I can't meet up.
Yeah, totally. I can't take a disco nap. When I was in college, and be like, just take a disco nap and then wake up at 11 and we'll all go out. That disco nap would turn into just a sleep. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm not at 11. It's dark. I'm not getting up and putting on lipstick.
No.
Hell no.
So you can put your lipstick on before you go to sleep, girl.
Yeah, that's true. Some more. Brian Diamond, who's It's Brian Diamond on Twitter. I kind of like this for an extreme case. Brian is like, roar. Brian said, if you cannot sleep, stay up for 48 hours straight to reset your clock. Worked for me. And I had someone else say that too. If you just cannot sleep, don't sleep. Stay up for 2 days. It will make you exhausted and it will like reset you.
48 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do it.
It sounds like your body is just going to tell you. And then if you're tired, well, thank God. But
I could stay up for 24 hours.
I think it's different if you're dealing with like real insomnia versus just being kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
I think people with real insomnia probably have found themselves inadvertently staying up for 48 hours. So might be worth doing it with intention.
That's very interesting.
A lot of people recommended reading, not on a tablet, but an actual book.
Mm.
That's what I do. And it helps me fall asleep really well. Detective novels are great because they're kind of cozy.
Mm-hmm. So is Jane Eyre.
Right now I'm doing Marjorie Allingham's novels. She's like Agatha Christie. She was a contemporary of Agatha Christie. Her stuff is great.
Cool.
Chrissy_G1024 says that she works out before bed. It's the only thing that's been helping her.
See, I've been doing this and my endorphins are pumping by the time I go to bed that I can't sleep. I mean, I guess it's different for everyone. That might work for some people.
Yeah, I think it either helps you a lot or it's the worst thing for you.
Yeah.
LizJ16 said that she's been sleeping with a soft teddy bear. She says, seriously, I've been having trouble sleeping over the last couple weeks and my friend suggested this to me. The softness is really comforting and it helped me get to sleep the past few nights.
I know a lot of people that like body pillows too.
Yeah.
Makes them feel like another person's in the bed.
It's very comforting. A couple more.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah 98998 said, I've been listening to sleep stories that I found on YouTube. I like the autumn cottage or the train ride to the coast. There's sometimes rain or a crackling fire and a British guy telling you a story just boring enough to put you to sleep while stopping your mind from racing.
Now, is this really a sleep story or is this the audio porn app Furly? Because a British guy telling me a story is...
Okay, well, I will play you a sample of a train ride to the coast. Mm. And from what I have heard, no one is telling you to do anything with your legs or your thighs. So here is a little sample. It is called Guided Sleep Story, Night Train to the Coast by The Honest Guys. Here is a little clip of that.
Okay.
The trees stream by. The river glints in the evening sun. And the sky is so clear, you can see the waxing floating above the mountains.
Ooh, that was lovely, Bethany.
It's so nice. And I love a romantic train ride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another suggestion. This is from Laurie Rubin. She said, look up binaural rhythms for sleep on YouTube. And I think we've talked about binaural beats and like when we were talking about sound. Mm. Binaural music is various frequencies for different purposes. Here's one example of it. I love this. I may start using it. This is from YouTube. It's called The Deepest Healing Sleep, 3.2 Hertz, Delta Brainwaves, REM Sleep Music, Binaural Beats by SleepTube. Here is a little sample of that.
Bethany, that was hypnotically fantastic.
So good, right?
So good. I could really fall asleep right now. Bethany, you're putting me to sleep in the best way possible.
That's the one I'm going to try tonight because it's hypnotic. Okay, a few more. Laura says, since I've been inside so much, I'm making a conscious effort to stay out of my bedroom unless I'm sleeping.
Mm, good idea.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. Amber said that what has been helping her is an acupressure mat. So I asked her to send me the one she's really loving. It's from Gaiam, and I'm going to link it in the show notes. It's called Acupressure Mat and Pillow Set. Mm. And it's supposed to, I guess, I don't know if it like vibrates or if it was, but she says that that has been incredibly helpful for her.
Cool. Gaiam, I bet, is making out like a mad company right now.
Totally, because they do all the yoga and Pilates stuff.
Oh, yeah. I tried to buy Gaiam yoga blocks the other day, and they were sold out everywhere online.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last tip, this one actually comes from my sister. This is what got me thinking about the whole thing. So we were talking as a family, and we were talking about how just anxiety is running rampant, and we find ourselves lying in bed, circular thoughts, driving ourselves crazy. What my sister does is she thinks of something fascinatingly boring. So it's something that to her is interesting, but not in any way going to cause stress. Mm. So the example she used is she thinks about if she were to make an addition to her home, what would she put in that addition?
Wait, are you kidding me? That's so exciting for me. That's what I think about to go to sleep at night.
Okay, so maybe this is not for you. Another recommendation would be build your perfect toilet.
Mm.
What would you want your perfect toilet to have? And go into detail.
That's also very exciting for me, Bethany. I love fancy Japanese toilets.
Okay, well, you get the point.
Okay.
Find something that isn't going to cause you stress. Like some people, if they think about an addition to their home, they start thinking about mortgages and money and it stresses them out.
Yeah.
But like, you know, think about the perfect toilet. Do you want a bidet? Do you want a warming seat? Do you want a cup holder? Do you want? And hopefully you will wear yourself out and pass yourself out.
What Giselle and Tom Brady do in a day.
There you go.
Or what do princesses eat for breakfast?
That's great.
Or when will rollerblades finally make a comeback?
Oh, they're so vintage.
Yeah, that would be pretty boring for me to think about. Quantum physics.
I don't even know what I could do to get started thinking about quantum physics. I think I would just make a list of all the things I don't know about quantum physics.
A equals
everything.
MC, you and me, go to sleep. Bethany, I need to tell you about this thing that I've been doing before bed lately. I've been doing relaxing nighttime yoga, you know, just like a very brief, quick 15-minute yoga routine on my Beach Bodies app. And it is amazing.
That's such a good idea because we are talking about if you're having a hard time sleeping. And for some people, working out is good in the morning or in the afternoon. But at night, you really want to do stuff that winds you down. And that's why we love Beachbody On Demand. It's the best streaming platform because it's not one size fits all. They have hundreds of programs. So if you're looking for bar, they have classes for you.
I took the bar class. It was so good.
Did you?
The next day, I was like having a hard time walking.
They know what they're doing. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix. And the best part, you can work out on your schedule from your home.
Yes, keyword from your home. We're all stuck in quarantine, but don't let that give you an excuse to get out of your daily workout. You're going to love Beachbody On Demand.
And if you want to start your day strong, try Morning Meltdown 100. You feel like you're accomplishing something first thing in the morning, and then the rest of your day, you're on a high.
Yes, access anywhere and anytime. View it on your computer, your web-enabled TV, your tablet, your smartphone, your Roku, your Apple, your Chromecast, and more.
We really want you to try Beachbody On Demand because we say it all the time. Physical movement leads to your brain feeling better. Right now, you can get a special free trial membership when you text the word TASTE to the number 3030.
You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support, it's all totally free.
Again, just text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to the number 303030.
All right, Bethany, are you ready for the history of toilet paper?
No, let's change the subject.
It's a tale for all generations that many can appreciate, all ages from 0 to 99.
Oh, okay. No, this is good. This is important stuff to know about, especially faced with a shortage.
Anal hygiene is one of the utmost topics that everyone should be discussing right now. So,
should we?
Toilet paper, as we know it, wasn't commercially available until the mid-1800s to early 1900s. Think about that.
So what do you mean, like it was just available for the aristocracy?
At first, it was available only for purchase in small packages. You couldn't just go to any store and get it. You had to really seek it out. And then it was only available in places like hotels and select drugstores.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
So before the modern day toilet paper roll was invented, let's talk about what different cultures used, because some of these items are quite uncomfortable.
Okay. They used a donkey.
Yep.
Sometimes you need a donkey.
In ancient coastal regions, they would use mussel shells or coconut husks.
Oh, ow, ow. How do mussel shells...
It's sort of like using a spoon to scrape away the poo on your anal hole.
Okay? Oh.
Yeah. Europeans used their hands, but they also had fountains with the luxury of warm water. So that was, you know, like a little bit of an upgrade.
So it's like a bidet.
Like a bidet, sort of. Well, the French are the ones who invented the bidet. The French were sort of the most sanitary, I guess. And bidets were invented before modern plumbing. So put that in your cap and let that sit.
Put that in your commode and spray it.
People from Islamic cultures use their left hand with a little bit of water. And in a lot of Islamic countries, they're still doing that today, which is why, sort of interestingly enough, my brother, who is living in the Middle East right now, mm-hmm. he was having a meal with some of the people that worked in his office. My brother is left-handed. So he was eating his meal with his left hand and people were giving him funny looks. And he realized exactly why they were, because that's the hand that you use to clean your ass. So it's considered like the less sanitary hand.
Oh, that's really interesting. I wonder if like people who are naturally left-handed are taught to try to break that and become right-handed. I wonder if there's any stigma associated with it. It sounds like there is.
Yeah, I bet there's something behind that.
Yeah.
People in northern cold regions, they would use moss or snow. Can you imagine picking up moss from the ground to rub in your butt? Like, you just mix in mud with poo.
I feel like actually that sounds like the best option so far, because like ice is going to clean, right?
A little bit, yeah. Also numb the hell out of your...
Yeah, I mean, it'll numb it, but like it might feel kind of nice. So like the snow is going to be soft and it's going to clean, and moss feels much better than like a clamshell. Moss is at least soft.
The Vikings used wool. Okay, so wool to me is maybe the best thing, right? Okay. Colonial Americans and the Mayans, they used corn cobs, Bethany.
Yeah.
Corn cobs.
I remember learning that. Wait, cobs or like the husks on the outside? I feel like I learned, but I think you're right. I think it's cobs.
Ugh. It's cobs. It's so much of my research pointed back to corn cobs, because I think after you dried them out or after you ate the corn, it left like it's like a gritty surface to, you know, really scrape that poo off your... Yeah.
Like the first Brillo pads.
Yeah, exactly. Wealthy people in America and in Europe, they used wool, lace, or other fabrics. Can you imagine wiping your butt with lace?
You're so rich, you wipe your butt with lace.
Come here, servant. Bring me my poo lace.
And heaven forbid it's like machine-made lace. That had better be hand-sewn lace.
It was the ancient Romans who invented this contraption. They used a sponge affixed to a stick, you know, like a sponge on a stick, which is not all that much different than like the modern day Swiffer or whatever.
Sure.
Okay. And then after they wiped their butts with this sponge stick, it was placed into a bucket that was filled with salt water or vinegar water. And the sponge stick was communal.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
The sponge stick was communal. So then we'll get back to the Romans in a second. Historians say that ancient Greeks may have used flat pieces of stone or like broken ceramic to wipe their asses. Because there's a Greek proverb that emphasizes frugalness and it says 3 stones are enough to wipe one's arse.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So let's get back to the Romans for a second. They had public bathrooms. They were eons above some of the other early cultures, right? The public bathrooms were considered luxurious. They were buildings made from nice marble. It was considered a social activity to do your daily business and visit one of these public latrines because you would see your neighbors.
Well, sure, yeah.
There were no dividers. It was just a single room with slabs of marble and holes in all of the marble, right?
So you would just like kind of squat over it and talk to your buddy Rick.
Be
like, hey, Rick.
Yeah, and when Rick was done using the stick on the sponge stick in the vinegar water.
Oh no.
You would like shake it around in the bucket, make sure Rick's shit was off of it, and then you would scrub your own arse with it.
It's a little bit like the squeegee at the gas station to clean your windows. But that's for your car.
Not for anal cleanliness. Also, as a side note, Romans were convinced that dark forces lived in the sewers. So they thought that when you were taking a shit amongst your friends, which could be as many as 80 of your closest friends, they believed that a demon could enter your body through your butthole. Like your butt was exposed to the demons of the under sewer.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. But I do feel like more like the demons are probably leaving your body, especially if you ate, you know, just like some of that bad food that I had the other night. That my body was like, oh, no.
Bethany, I've told you to lay off the fermented cabbage.
No.
You always go overboard. Or is it licorice? It's licorice. You and Dennis always, you have the shits from licorice.
We eat too much of it. And then we have to alternate on who's furthest away from the bathroom. Because if one goes in, the other has to go to the like geographic opposite of the apartment and then sing really loudly. That's the rule.
Dar anise is a natural laxative. How many times do I have to tell you that?
I keep forgetting.
Okay. So, you know, from a hygiene perspective, the Romans were questionable at best. But I don't want to give them too much of a bad name because they later did invent modern day public plumbing, you know, like plumbing in houses, water filter streams, whatever, through cities.
Well, so, it sounds like they were motivated to do so because otherwise you had to squat over a hole with Rick.
Yes, they eventually redeemed themselves. But what we know as modern day toilet paper, using paper to clean yourselves, we owe to medieval China.
Oh, thank you, China.
Yes, thank you, China. They were the first civilization, according to historians, to have written using about paper as a method of cleaning yourself after defecating. And historians have found evidence of this as early as 589 AD. AD.
Oof.
Yes. And by the early 14th century, the Chinese were manufacturing toilet paper at a rate of 10 million packages of 1,000 to 10,000 sheets annually. So that was happening by the 1300s. The 1300s, Bethany.
That's crazy.
And some of their toilet paper was perfumed. Can you imagine?
You know, we need to go back to that. Like, it's not apparently good for your natural flora, but it smells real nice.
It's good for your nose. So the 1300s in China compared to when toilet paper was actually commercially available in America, the early 1900s, that's a lot of years in between. A lot of years.
Were they manufacturing it for other Chinese or were they exporting it? Or why did it take so long for us to get on that toilet paper bus?
As far as I can tell, it was just for, because there wasn't, globalization hadn't hit yet. Okay. So there was no way of transporting it back in that time. So it was really just for probably the more esteemed Chinese families back then. Okay.
Damn.
All of that ancient stuff behind us, right? Way behind us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about toilet paper in the Western world, specifically America in the 1800s.
Okay.
So people still had outhouses in the beginning of the 1800s. Like, people didn't have indoor plumbing. Houses certainly weren't built with indoor plumbing.
No.
And people loved using books that they didn't want anymore, newspapers that they were done reading, and more specifically, the Sears catalog.
Specifically,
people loved wiping their asses with the freaking Sears catalog.
Why Sears specifically? Was it the only catalog out there, or was there something about the texture of its pages that was just really lovely?
It was a combination of all three of those things. So it came in the mail for free. So free is the keyword.
Yeah. If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah. And it was made with matte pages. So it was a big to do amongst people who were fans of wiping their ass with the Sears. What was it? Burbach?
Sears Roebuck.
There we go. I knew it was something like that. When they changed to shiny paper, it was a big to do because then people could no longer wipe their asses with the shiny paper. It just wasn't as effective.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about that because I only know it from my childhood and it was always shiny, but I'm thinking like the L.L. Bean catalog, those pages are very matte.
Yeah. So when Sears switched to shiny, the Farmer's Almanac was like, you know what? We can capitalize here because they were still printing matte pages. And so the Farmer's Almanac started drilling a hole, like a pre-hole in the corner of their book, because then people could hang it outside the outhouses. So the Farmer's Almanac from the year before, they're like, go ahead, use our product to wipe your ass with.
That's so clever. Oh, that's so clever. I wonder if they still have the hole or not.
So it wasn't until 1857 when this guy from New York, his name was Joseph Gayetti. I'm probably messing that up, but for this podcast, we're going to call him Gay Yeti. He made this product that was sheets of manila hemp, and they were dispensed from a box, sort of like a Kleenex box, and the sheets were infused with aloe. And he marketed this product as a medicated sheet to prevent hemorrhoids, but really, it was the first marketed toilet paper product in America. And that didn't happen until 1857.
Jeez.
He sold 500 sheets for 50 cents. And I'm trying to figure out if that's like a good deal. Like
500 sheets for 50 cents.
10 cents a sheet. Yeah. I think that was pretty expensive back then.
That feels like a lot.
He was so proud of his product that he stamped his name onto every single sheet.
That seems like something the MyPillow guy would do. I don't know why.
Oh, God. I hate the MyPillow guy, but my husband does have a MyPillow and he loves it.
I think it's very funny that, I don't know if he still does this, but like the old MyPillows, like you can see he wants to make sure that you know that he is a God-fearing man. And so even though the shirt doesn't allow it, he like pulls his cross necklace and it sort of sits up over the collar of his shirt. Even like,
stop it.
It's not laying nicely, but it's important that you know.
Bethany, I think we met him. We met him years ago. Do you remember he came into the place where we used to work?
I don't remember meeting him.
And we all got my pillows because he came in.
I was gone that day for some reason. It was probably the year I had the flu 3 times. Yeah. I remember coming back in and everybody had a my pillow.
Yeah, I met him. He's very good friends with our president. But anyway, back yes, to toilet paper. I found a really old newspaper ad for Gayetti's medicated paper. It was Gayetti's medicated paper for the water closet. And in the ad, which is so bizarre, it's just a bunch of printed text. I guess like people didn't put illustrations in ads back then.
Sure, they talked at you in ads.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Basically, in the ad, he's trying to get you to buy his product by saying that all of the regular things like printed newspaper and catalogs that you usually wipe your ass with, the ink is poison. And on your tender nether regions, those chemicals are not healthy.
I mean, is he wrong? I don't know.
Poison for your anus, Bethany. Poison for your anus.
I just picture how you just must have gotten ink all over. Imagine wiping with newspaper now. You just would be black, like you'd have black ink on your fingers. And you'd have it on your bottom.
On your bottom. Like, imagine somebody going to do the, like, you know, put it in the poop chute and it's just all smeared ink back
it's
there.
It's just ink back there because it's been across your anus.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what your knickers would have looked like.
Awful. Awful. Mm-hmm. They would be a combination of gross and like the top headlines. Like the worst silly putty ever.
The World's Fair printed across your butt cheek.
Yeah, like someone takes his pants off to change for bed and his wife is like, oh, the World's Fair is coming. He like bends over to like take off his socks. Oh, I see. They're debuting the Ferris wheel.
Oh, oranges are on sale down at Morrison's. I must go. So even with this invention of Gayetti's medicated paper, toilet paper and toilet tissue for your bum did not catch on.
Why not?
Bethany, it's beyond me.
Maybe it's because people were like so used to doing it for free. Like they were using the free pages of a magazine. They didn't want to pay because you're literally flushing money down the toilet, right?
Exactly. Precisely. That is why people weren't into buying medicated butt paper because they could use the mail for free. Yeah. So in 1890, two brothers with the last name, you're going to recognize their last name, Clarence and E. Irvin Scott. They popularized the concept of toilet paper on a roll.
Wait, what year was this?
1890.
They've been around for this long and their toilet paper is still cardboard feeling.
Bethany, I use Scott toilet paper. I like 2-ply Scott toilet paper. It's the only toilet paper that I buy.
Isn't it a little rough?
Well, that's why when I go to your house and I use the bathroom, I feel really bad because I go through so much toilet paper. Once I even apologize and offered to bring a roll of toilet paper to your house next time I visit.
You go through more when it's not rough, really?
When I have to do number 2, Bethany, at your house, I feel like I'm wasting so much because you buy like the cushier, thickier toilet paper.
Well, maybe I have some things to think about.
I like it rough.
I know you do.
I like my toilet paper rough because I really want to get that sandpaper effect so that I know that I'm clean. Because corn cobs, you can't flush them down the toilet anymore. They're going to clog your system. So the Scott brothers, they built a steady business of, you know, selling toilet paper. They sold to hotels because when you stayed at a hotel, it was sort of a fancy thing to have toilet paper in the bathroom. They sold it to drugstores. So drugstores would sell it as like a specialty product. But because there is still so much shame in America surrounding the concept of pooping, it was hard to market it to everyday American homes.
Sure. I wouldn't want to talk about it. I'm uncomfortable now.
There is this great article about toilet paper on mentalfloss.com. So all of the information I'm going to talk about right now is coming from Mental Floss, and I'm going to share all of my sources in our show notes, but Mental Floss says that it was an uphill battle to get the public to openly buy toilet paper. Americans were so embarrassed, and the Scott brothers were in fact so ashamed of the nature of their work that they didn't properly take credit for their innovation until 1902, 12 years after they created the toilet paper roll.
Wow.
And nobody wanted to walk into the store and ask for it by name.
Yeah.
A German company named Hackle, H-A-K-L-E, they picked up on this sort of shame, even in Germany, around toilet paper. And they made up all of this marketing in these commercials that said, ask for a roll of Hackle. You won't have to say toilet paper.
You know, it's really smart. It's a little bit like when Poo-Pourri first came out and they had that classy British lady talking yes. about pooing, because in America, yes. if you're British, you're classy and it helps us digest information that we're too embarrassed to talk about.
So think about it. The Scott brothers finally came out with a roll of toilet paper in 1890. It wasn't until 1930 that toilet paper was 100% splinter free. Splinter free. You could get a splinter in your butt by wiping your ass with toilet paper before the year 1930.
Why? Why weren't they making a better product?
It was the manufacturing, you know? They just didn't have the tools that they needed. They just didn't know how, Bethany. They just didn't know how. Would you rather risk getting a splinter in your ass using toilet paper or not wiping at all after you take a shit?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I don't do that. That is not a thing I do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But in theory, I would rather play that game of Russian roulette with the splinter than not do anything at all.
I agree. Right? I couldn't agree more. So
yeah,
here's another name that you're going to recognize. By 1930, toilet paper is finally splinter free. And American homes that are being built at that point all have indoor plumbing. So everyone's getting fancier. The brand we know today as Charmin is responsible for making toilet paper a less embarrassing household product. And this is how they did that. On the advice of Charmin's ad men, the company introduced the brand and then fitted the product with a feminine logo that depicted a beautiful woman. Oh. It was a genius campaign, because by associating toilet paper with a beautiful woman, they also associated the campaign with softness and femininity. Oh. And the company could avoid talking about toilet paper's actual purpose. Charmin was so enormously successful that the tactic actually helped the company survive the Great Depression.
Wow. Wow.
And it was during the Great Depression in 1932 that Charmin began marketing economy size packs, like the four rolls yeah. of toilet paper that you can buy all at once. And that is how we know toilet paper today, like buying a bunch of rolls at one single time. And then decades later, those dainty ladies were replaced by four baby bear cubs, and this is the advertising that we know today for sure.
Those bears make me uncomfortable. I don't like it, because guess what? One of them wipes, and then the whole family talks about all the crap he has left behind. He's like, oh no, little bear, you got all that residue. And they're just talking about it like as a group, which I feel like is inappropriate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't there Charmin bear commercials where at first the bear is cleaning his ass on a tree, right? Like tree bark?
I think there might be.
But as we have learned, that is not that far off from the history of toilet paper. It's like actually pretty on brand.
I know a guy who used to rub up against the wall if his back itched because he couldn't reach his back. So he would just rub against the wall like a bear. We would like find him. He wasn't doing it to be funny. We would turn around and he'd be in the corner just like rubbing up and down on the wall.
I actually saw a Charmin commercial just yesterday that was like, Charmin, we're working really hard to make sure you don't not have toilet paper accessible to you. Like, okay, Charmin, thank you. But I don't think the news is saying that we're not going to have a shortage of toilet paper. You just need to go to the store at a different time and like ask the clerk when the shelves are going to be stocked.
I wish that Charmin would get a new ad campaign.
Why? Bethany, what are you going to replace with cute, cuddly bears to sell a product that cleans your shit off your asshole?
They're not cute and cuddly to me, because in my head, they're just covered in toilet paper residue. And so,
okay, here's something I need to ask you about your toilet paper uh-huh. choice, because you buy the like the soft, cushiony kind and I buy the sandpaper kind. Don't you get little rolls? Like little leftovers hanging out in your nether regions?
I used to, and I stopped using that brand. I don't even know what it was. Maybe Cottonelle. And like, it was a brand that had two options. It had like super soft and it had super strong. And the super soft is like using loose feathers. it goes everywhere. And it's like you would see powder raining down as you use the toilet paper, because it's like there's so much lint that falls off of it.
Yeah. Like a cloud of dust when you open up
exactly.
the package. Exactly.
Yeah. I think if you use the super strong, it's better. It doesn't get everywhere.
I can't with that fancy fluffy toilet paper. Bethany, it's like, you know, when you have a flavor saver, like food on your face and you eat it later because it's a snack. It's the same thing. It's like the toilet paper version of a flavor saver. You go to the bathroom the next time and there's like a lint roll and you're like, where did this come from? This is disgusting.
You're not wrong, Kathleen. I go into the toilet paper aisle and I panic because I don't want to be there. I don't want to be seen there. And I certainly don't want to be there. And so I just grab whatever I see and doesn't cost like $16 because literally throwing money away. So I don't know. It all happens so fast and I kind of black out.
You have the same mentality as Americans from the early 1900s.
I really do. I feel like I'm being profoundly validated right now.
So the United States spends more than $6 billion a year on toilet tissue. That is more than any other nation in the whole world.
It is a little ridiculous.
In the whole world. And you know how we can help the environment? We can all help the environment by buying a very fancy Japanese toilet to the tune of $3,000.
Bidets?
It's those Japanese toilets. There's a company called Toto. And they make something called the Washlet. I went on the website today and I watched the commercial for the Toto, the Washlet toilet made by Toto. And it shows a woman. She's doing yoga and she's beautiful and she's thin. And then she splashes her face with water. She's so pure, Bethany. And then there's a very handsome man sitting at a breakfast table in the breakfast nook. And he's pouring himself a cup of coffee from a French press. And he's reading the newspaper. And he's a very refined man. And then it just shows you a picture of the toilet, the Washlet.
Oh, I'm so happy that I'm not the only one who's filled with shame and doesn't want to talk about it.
For $3,300, you get a warm water spray, a heated seat, a deodorizer, and sprays to clean the front and the back, Bethany. Front and back. Front and back.
Yeah.
$3,000. Would you do it? If I was a millionaire and I was building a house, I would make sure that every single freaking toilet in my house was this, just because it's better for the environment. I really would.
Bidets are great, and I know that they're great. And I used to think that the bidet water came from the toilet bowl. So I was like, why are you spraying contaminated water back up into yourself? I was corrected that it comes from the tank that's like cleaner. Like, yeah, it's not like poo pee water. Yeah. It's like it's clean water. Yeah.
And if you ever find yourself in Europe on a summer vacation, bidets are also a great mechanism to clean your bathing suits. You know, wash the sand out your suits.
With poo pee water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Bethany, it's clean water.
I think that's the only
water.
Kind of barrier between me and a bidet. Is like really truly believing that it's not poopy water.
What ancient material, Bethany, if someone had a gun to your head and said, okay, for the next month, you need to wipe your ass with only one ancient material, what would you pick? Corn cobs?
Velvet?
Wool? Okay. You can't pick any of the rich people materials, Bethany. It's got to be like seashells, corn cobs, stones, hay.
I'm going to go with snow and moss.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like it's also better for the environment because the snow is just going to melt into the toilet, right? It's a little bit like when you, the perfect murder, you stab someone with an icicle.
Uh-huh.
Like all of the evidence disappears. So I'm going to like, yeah, what about you?
You could put the moss in a bucket and then you could give it to someone to put in their garden.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fertilizer included.
Mm-hmm.
Infused with fertilizer. What about you? What would you use?
You know what? I'm thinking shells.
Yeah, you strike me as a fancy shell lady.
Yeah, or like a coconut shell.
Yeah.
Like coconut husk. Yeah. I just like the beach. So if I had to do this for a whole month, I would do it at a beach house and that's what I would use.
You know, the good news is that now that I know this about shells is next time I go on Etsy and I want to buy like a $3,000 handmade chandelier, I know that everything on there could potentially wipe your butt.
Everything could potentially wipe your butt. Don't let the world of toilet paper limit where you're going to go with this, Bethany. Don't let it limit you.
Frankly, yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, anything can be used to wipe your butt. Mm-hmm. This computer, this container of cold brew, my hair, your hair.
Your cat.
My hair, my cat, your cat.
Meow.
Kathleen.
Yes.
Last week's episode, you said that you had ordered more pairs of Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants.
Yes, I did. I ordered a bootcut jean.
Kathleen and I have been singing the praises of Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants for a while now, and I've been wearing them for even longer. And if you're out of clean loungewear because you're working at home, but you don't want to wear super uncomfortable work pants, Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants are for you. Here's what's great about them. They're a pair of dress pants that you can wear anywhere dress pants are appropriate, right? But they're made out of incredibly soft, stretchy material, so they feel like yoga pants, but they still somehow have like a form that holds your booty up and like makes you feel all like good and held in. I don't know how they do it. It's some type of witchcraft, and I love it. Plus, now that most of us are working from home, if you still want to feel professional and put together, but you're sitting all day and you don't want a waistband digging into you or riding up, dress pant yoga pants are the perfect solution.
I was so obsessed with my skinny leg merino dress pant yoga pants that I went and bought another pair last week. I cannot wait for them to come.
There are tons of different colors and styles to choose from. Plus, they launch new styles weekly.
So right now, our listeners, that's you. You can get 25% off of your first order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 25% off your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Find out why women are ditching their typical work pant in favor of Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pant.
Go to betabrand, that's betabrand.com/taste for 25% off. Kathleen, if you were a senior in high school right now, would you be really bummed out that you weren't getting your normal graduation and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I most certainly would. I mean, I had a shit time at prom, but I would have been even more devastated to not being able to just go to prom in the first place.
Why was your prom so bad?
Ugh, I don't know. It's just my dress was so tight. My date had to unzipper it so I could eat dinner. I didn't dance at all. It's just like it wasn't fun. I don't know. Would you have been bummed?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I would because I didn't have a great time in high school. Yeah. And I think as a senior, I was really ready to just be done.
Yeah.
And so I remember we had the senior slideshow. Is that a thing everyone does, the senior slideshow, or no?
No, but continue.
You were supposed to like submit pictures of yourself from all 4 years to, I don't know, whoever.
Oh, not fun. Not fun at all.
They would like put together a giant slideshow of everyone. And then you'd all sit in the auditorium and they would play the slideshow and sad music about, you know, being friends forever would play. And really, ultimately, what it did was it reminded the popular people how popular they were.
Because they were
hot. Every picture. Yeah. And then it reminded people like me that we weren't invited to a lot of things. Because all of these pictures took place at people's homes.
Yeah.
And often it was with friends that I was like, oh, they were my friend. Why wasn't I invited to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the senior slideshow, everyone got up and started crying and hugging each other. And it was like the end of the day.
Oh,
and
God.
I remember just walking out of the auditorium and leaving before the hugging started.
Yeah.
I think I probably wouldn't have been into it.
That sounds like the signing of the high school yearbook where I was so embarrassed to have anyone sign my yearbook that I tried to leave the building without anyone signing it, period. And one girl stopped me, and this girl did not like me. And she's like, let me sign your yearbook. I was like, no, it's okay. I want it pristine. I don't want anyone to write in it. And it wasn't until years later that I was able to open that yearbook and look at what she wrote to me. And it was something like, despite all of our differences, I really liked you anyway, or something like that.
Is that nice or mean?
I don't
can't
know.
Figure it out.
I can't figure it out either. I don't know. I feel really sad for students who don't get to go to graduation, especially if they're the first ones in their family to graduate from high school, or they're a family that's new to this country.
Yeah, I see that definitely. I think that it's something you've earned, right? Mm-hmm. You've earned this big celebration. So even if you're not going to miss the people you went to high school with or the act of going to high school, you're not getting recognition for the thing that you've done. And finishing high school is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. And how are they going to finish the yearbook with all the most popular votes? Like, are they doing that digitally? Or are they voting over Zoom? I don't like it. I don't like it.
You know, my high school didn't do that.
Really?
We never did that.
I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I got nothing. No, I got nothing. And your high school didn't do it. So we're nobodies, Bethany, and that's fine.
We are nobodies.
Us nobodies will stick together.
Yeah. Does your hometown care about you? Because mine certainly doesn't.
No, they don't give a shit.
Not that this matters, but like, no.
Not one shit. Speaking about things that I do give a shit about, can I tell you that my mom and I over the weekend started watching The Golden Girls from the first episode?
How does it age? Did it age well?
Aged so well. So well. It's available on Hulu. And they are dirty. They are dirty.
Really?
They are dirty little girls, Bethany.
Are you talking about sex?
Bethany, episode 3 in the series is titled Rose is a prude. That's the title of the episode. Rose is a prude.
Rose is the one from St. Olaf, right?
Rose is Betty White.
Yeah, she's the one from St. Olaf. My whole family on one side went to St. Olaf for college.
Oh.
I identify with her.
I thought you were sneezing. I didn't understand what you were saying there. St. Olaf, it's a school.
Yeah.
It's a school. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's a school. I don't know if it's a city either, but it's a school for sure.
Yeah. Rose is Betty White. The whole episode is about how her husband died 12 years prior and he died making love to her. So she doesn't want to make love to her new boyfriend, Arnie, even though they're on vacation together, sharing a bed because she's afraid she's going to kill him with her magic vagina. And then she's like... I can't do it, Arnie. I can't do it. And she locks herself in the bathroom all night. And Arnie has to go play tennis without his contact lenses the next day because Rose is sleeping in the bathroom. And then they come out and they have a heart to heart and they end up fucking anyway. And then Rose gets home from her cruise with Arnie. And Sophia's like, hey, give us the details. Did you play Find the Cannoli with Arnie? And then Rose is like, yes, ladies, I did it. And it was wonderful. And I know now that I can care for a man again. And it is... dirty. It's dirty.
I had no idea.
Yes. Blanche admits to the ladies in the same episode that at her husband's funeral, she had sex with the pastor. Because every time the pastor would talk about sin up until this point, he would always look at her from his stand up. We're in, always talking to the congregation. And he, every time he talked about sin, he would look at Blanche. And Blanche had sex with the damn pastor at her husband's funeral. I mean, these ladies are dirty, Bethany. They're filthy. If you're done with The Office and Parks and Rec and Friends is not on Netflix anymore and you're looking for like that 30-minute comedy to put on and just like plow through, you gotta watch Golden Girls. It's good.
Plow through the way that Arnie plowed through Rose.
Yes, they played Find the Cannoli. Find the Cannoli.
Kathleen, we forgot to do this last week. What did you learn this week?
I'll tell you what I learned. I'm going through my dad's basement and there's like 60 years of like three different generations of shit in this basement. And I'm like, that's trash. This is trash. Blah, 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 blah. And I took a picture and I sent something like an old tool to my best friend's husband. And he's like, stop what you're doing. Don't throw that away. That is an antique drill something something. And it's worth quite a lot of money if it turns on. And I was just going to throw it away. So,
Kathleen,
when you're going through your house and you're throwing stuff away, just Google everything. Even if it's a scrap of paper, just Google it before you throw it away. You don't know how much that paper is worth. You just don't.
You're very smart. I was talking to somebody who owns a very old home and the people who lived there before them threw away a desk.
Oh.
And then a family member of someone who used to live in the same home came asking for the desk. Turned out it was a signed desk by an incredibly famous artist that they had just thrown away.
In the trash. Probably worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, easily worth thousands of dollars.
Well, I've got an FDR era wheelchair to get rid of, and I think this baby may be worth a lot of money.
Well, if you don't sell it, I will take that off your hands because you know I love old things, especially if they're creepy.
Bethany, what the heck are you going to do with a wheelchair in your apartment that's already filled with stuff? Like a 1920s wheelchair.
I mean, I don't know, but it's creepy and I need it because it's creepy, Kathleen.
Okay.
All right. I need it.
If I can sell it, but I think I might be able to get like $800 for this.
Oh, make that money, girl.
For every production of Annie, I'll be able to get money. Yep.
You're right, all the local
high schools. I'm going to rent out this wheelchair to everyone doing Annie.
You know, that's a good point, by the way. If you have old clothing and you don't need the money to sell it or whatever, donate it to theater departments.
Yes.
A lot of times they can use that stuff.
Yeah, they can. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned about a new type of hummus that is delicious.
Oh, do tell, do tell.
The brand is Esti, E-S-T-I, all lowercase letters when they spell it. Authentic Greek hummus. The flavor is caramelized onion.
Oh, God.
It is.
You're talking dirty to me now, girlfriend.
So dang good. And as someone who doesn't like caramelized onions, i.e. me, because they look like burned worms, I love the flavor of caramelized onions. And so this hummus is perfect, but they come in a million different flavors. They have like pesto and regular and... you know, other stuff. So again, it's E-S-T-I, Esti, authentic Greek hummus in the flavor caramelized onion.
Caramelized onion.
You can dip stuff in it.
Man, I'm so hungry right now. It's past my snack time.
I know. I know, same. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
You can find me, Radio Bethany, on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson, MS Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our podcast on Twitter. We are...
Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, we are
Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, we are
Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There's a lot of really lovely, smart, amazing people in there.
If you want to email us, you can do that. Our email address are
AnAcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
We have a P.O. box that we haven't been able to visit in a while because quarantine. But if you want to send us snail mail, our P.O. box address are
Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, which we play at the end of almost every single episode, you can call us. Our voicemail phone number are
917-994-0353.
Our podcast is edited by the great Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media. On Twitter, she is Shargar. And on Instagram, she is lit_fuck.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. We love reading your reviews. They're so funny. And 5 stars helps us move up in the ranks. So thank you in advance.
We also have merch. We haven't plugged it in a while, but it is there. If you go to our show notes, we will link you over. Otherwise, it is the website dftba.com. That stands for Don't Forget to Be Awesome.com. And our merch is there. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can also find our merch on our website, AcquiredTastePodcast.com. And Bethany, there's something you didn't do yet.
Take my shirt off?
No, other than that, and that's just for you and me after this podcast.
Sorry, that's for when we role play later on.
Uh-huh.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Taste buds, thanks for hanging with us. This is what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Fairlight, longtime listener, first-time caller. And I just want to say thank you to all the Animal Crossing buds. We have this subgroup on Facebook, and it has just made this quarantine so great. We have a little messenger chat, too, where we share turnip prices, and we do Zoom calls and watering events, and it's just great. And it has put a huge smile on my face to have this community, and I just want to say thank you to the Animal Crossing buds and all the other Taste buds out there, too. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Emily. I've been listening to you guys forever, and this is the first time calling in. But I just wanted to say how eloquent and amazing Nicole is. I'm a teacher. I teach grades 5 through 12 music, and I am struggling with distance learning. And I feel like she just spoke right to my heart and gave me a little bit of inspiration and oomph that I needed to keep going through the end of the school year because we've been canceled. But thank you, Nicole, for everything. I can't wait to read Unscripted. And thank Kathleen and Bethany for always putting a smile on my face.
Hey, ladies. This is Taste Bud Sarah. So I'm dealing with an interesting experience right now, and I really couldn't think of anybody I know, not that I know you guys, but who might have dealt with something like it to reach out to tell. The company that I work for right now is starting a program to try and tell some of the stories of people who have been on the front lines fighting in the current pandemic. Doctors, nurses, paramedics, truck drivers, and we started getting our first submissions of stories today. And I've never been in a position of hearing so many people's personal stories all at once, all about the same thing. It's really, really, really humbling and really incredible. And you just share that with somebody who would understand. So thanks.
Hi, ladies. So I was just watching a video, and one of the girls in the video used the term social needs. Bethany, you need to trademark social needs ASAP. Nobody should be stealing your tagline. All right, ladies, hope you're having a wonderful day and can't wait for the next podcast.
I'm a plant lady, and I was treating one of my plants for this infection of spider mites. And I was, like, thinking, I was like, oh, I shouldn't touch my hands to my face after I cleaned the plant from the spider mites. And then I was like, oh, my God, the freaking spiders that live in your pores in your eyelashes? Like, never mind, I'm not okay.
Hi, ladies, it's Alicia from Hoboken, longtime listener. I'm catching up on old episodes and the episode with the flight attendant. It's so informative. I love everything about that entire episode because it's actually a career that I've considered pursuing myself. And fun fact, I don't know if anybody knows this, but maybe they do and I'm just late. I didn't know that you could bring your own liquor on the plane instead of like buying like a $10 nip on the airplane or a flight. I don't know what people call them. You can bring your own. So me and my boyfriend actually just came back from Singapore and Malaysia, and we like bought like a 10 pack of Jack Daniels, just like little ones, and we just, you know, we just asked for soda, and it was great. We had a great flight.